1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. But I make known to you, brethren, the glad tidings which I announced to you, which also ye received, in which also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I announced to you as the glad tidings, unless indeed ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you in the first place what also I had received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to above 500 brethren at once, of whom the most remain until now. For some also have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to abortion, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles who am not fit to be called apostle, because I have persecuted the assembly of God. But by God's grace I am what I am, and his grace which was towards me has not been vain, but I have labored more abundantly than they all, but not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Whether therefore I or they, thus we preach, and thus ye have believed. Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1. Just the first 5 verses. I composed the first discourse, O Theophilus, concerning all things which Jesus began both to do and to teach, until that day in which, having by the Holy Spirit charged the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he presented himself living, after he had suffered with many proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things which concern the kingdom of God, and having assembly with them, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit after now not many days. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank thee that it is thou who has drawn us. It is thou who has opened the way to thyself for us. We do come in the name of thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know we are in thy presence. This is holy ground. We do desire to remove our shoes and wait upon thee. Listen to what thou hast to say to us. Speak, Lord. Thy servants hear it. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We have been considering for some time on the life of our Lord Jesus. We do believe that it is God's will, the Father's delight, that we should focus on his Son. So this morning we'll continue on the life of our Lord Jesus, on this matter of his appearing after his resurrection and before his ascension. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he tells us that he announced to them what he had received from the Lord. And what he delivered to them, he said, first of all, that is of first importance, are these following things. First, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Second, he was buried. Third, He was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. And fourth, he appeared. In other words, here you find two important things. His death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, and his appearing. And he said, it is on these that we stand. This is the gospel. This is the glad tidings on which we stand, and by which we are saved. His death is essential to our salvation, because he bore our sins in his own body. We receive forgiveness of our sins by the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross. His burial is essential, because by his burial, our old man was finished, buried out of sight. His resurrection is important, because by his resurrection, he gives us a new life. And his appearing is important, because by his appearing, he shows us a new way of living. His death, according to scriptures. His resurrection, according to scriptures. His burial is to reinforce his death. And his appearing is to strengthen his resurrection. Now, brothers and sisters, it is on these four that we have the essentials of the gospel, the foundation on which we stand. I think we know more or less of his death, of his burial, and of his resurrection, even though there is so much more that we need to know. But it is as if we neglect completely his appearing. We do not think much of his appearing. And yet the Apostle Paul tells us that these are the four things important that constitute our glad tidings. So this morning we would like to concentrate our meditation on the appearing of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. But he did not ascend to God immediately. Before his public ascension and his resurrection, there are 40 days. Now that doesn't mean that during those 40 days, he never ascended. It is true. When he first appeared to Mary of Magdala, he said, "Don't touch me, because I have not ascended to my Father." And yet, a little while later, he allowed the other women to touch his feet. So we are sure that he must have ascended during that short period, even though his public ascension did not happen until 40 days later. Now, as a matter of fact, in resurrection, there is no such thing as time or space. When our Lord was in his physical body, he was limited by time and by space. he was in Jerusalem, he was not in Galilee. He was young, reared in Nazareth, and when he grown up to maturity, he traveled around to preach the gospel. He was restricted by time and space. But after he was resurrected, he took up a spiritual body. Or to put it in another word, he is now in the spirit. He has transcended time and space. He is no longer bound by time or space. He is everywhere. He is always present. So Brother Spock said, in resurrection, in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, it is no longer a matter of come and go. It is simply a matter of appearing and disappearing. In other words, it is only a matter of seen on unseen. He is always here. He is living, and he lives forevermore. But if you have faith, you see him. If you do not have faith, you do not see him. But it doesn't mean that he is not here, because he is everywhere. He is ever living, living forever. That is resurrection. So our Lord Jesus is no longer limited by time. And yet, for 40 days, he appeared to his disciples before his public ascension. Now, 40 in the scripture has a very special meaning. Whenever you see 40, you know that it symbolizes testing. It is a time of testing. The first mentioning of 40 days and 40 nights is in Genesis chapter 7, where the rain came down 40 days and 40 nights, the flood. And you remember Moses. He went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments and the pattern of the tabernacle. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. And then he went up again 40 days and 40 nights after the two tablets were broken. And he received anew the Ten Commandments. We remember the spies. They went to spy the land for 40 days. Remember Elijah, by the heavenly food, he walked 40 days to Mount Sinai. And remember Jonah went to Nineveh and said in 40 days, this city will be destroyed. Our Lord Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, fasting, tempted, and overcome. And here you find, after he was raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples during those 40 days. So here you find it is a time of testing. He is testing his disciples. He is bringing his disciples out from that which is physical into that which is spiritual. Out of that which is earthly to that which is heavenly. 40 days. So far as we know from the Word of God, he appeared a number of times during those 40 days. Immediately after he was raised from the dead, he appeared to Mary of Magdala because of her intense love for the Lord. The Lord had to appear to her immediately after he was raised from the dead. And his message to her was, "Do not touch me. I have not ascended to my Father yet. But go, tell my brethren that I go to see my Father, your Father, my God, your God." And immediately afterwards, he met the other women, Mary, the mother of James, Susanna, Johanna, and he allowed them to touch his feet and say, "Fear not, go and tell my brethren that they may see me in Galilee as I have told them before." And you remember two disciples. They were so disappointed, so puzzled, that they left Jerusalem on their way to Emmaus. One of them was Cleopas. And while they were talking about what happened in Jerusalem, Jesus walked with them. But they did not know him. And how our Lord Jesus opened their understanding of the Scriptures. And when our Lord expounded the Scripture to them concerning himself, how their hearts were warmed. And after they arrived in Emmaus, they forced our Lord Jesus to stay with them. And when they had their supper, the Lord broke the bread, blessed it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened that it was the Lord, but he disappeared. They went back to Jerusalem. And when they came to their house, when the other apostles and others were there, they said the Lord had appeared to Peter, to Cephas. Now we do not know what happened during that appearing. It was so private that it was not recorded. But I believe that in that appearing, our Lord restored And while they were talking, suddenly the Lord appeared and said, "Peace be with you." And showed them his hand and his feet. And he breathed into them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Thomas was not there. And Thomas said, "Unless I put my finger in his wounds, I will not believe." A week later, in the evening, he was there. And suddenly the Lord appeared. The door was shut. But in spiritual body is not limited by time or space, by material things. The Lord appeared to them and said, "Thomas, here are my hands. Press your finger and see." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." In John chapter 7, 20, we are told that seven disciples, apostles, they were in Galilee, and Peter said, "I go fishing. I have nothing to do. I go fishing." And the other said, "We go with you." So when they went to fish, and they couldn't get anything through the night. And in the morning, our Lord was standing on the shore. As the children, do you have anything to eat? You get anything? They said, no. And the Lord said, cast your net. And they got all these fishes. And John said, it is the Lord. They couldn't see him, but John understood. And Peter threw himself into the water and went to the Lord. And there you'll find our Lord Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you really are attached to me? I believe during that time, in that appearing, the Lord restored Peter before his companions and commission him to shepherd his sheep. We are told that at one time our Lord appeared to above 500 brethren. And I personally believe it must be in the mountain in Galilee where the Lord said, I'll meet you in Galilee. So they went to Galilee to that mountain. And the Lord met them. And it was there the Lord gave them the great commission that we find in Matthew chapter 28. 500. And after that, the Lord appeared to James, his brother in the flesh. You remember his brother in the flesh did not believe him before his death. But after his crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and in appearing himself to James, the whole family turned to the Lord. And then he appeared to the apostles. I believe that refers to the Mount of Olives, when our Lord Jesus ascended from that mountain. 120 believers saw him. And they were given the command to return to Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Father. And they may receive power from on high to be his witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now these are the recorded appearing of our Lord Jesus during those 40 days. Now of course Paul, in writing, he said, and last of all, he appeared to me, Paul, an abortion, because he was not fit to be an apostle, and yet the Lord appeared to him. Now, these are the facts of his appearance. Now, brothers and sisters, what did he do during these 40 days? What did he teach during these 40 days of appearing? Why is it that these 40 days are important to us today? First of all, I believe his appearing is to revitalize the faith of his disciples. You know, when our Lord Jesus was arrested, his disciples scattered. After he was crucified and buried, they were in mourning, in fear. They shut themselves in the house. Even when the news came to them from these sisters that the Lord is risen, they couldn't believe it. They were weeping, mourning, in fear and in trembling. Their faith was challenged, wavered, weakened. It took a period to revitalize their faith. Now today when we talk about resurrection, probably we do not have the same feeling as the disciples of old. You know, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is the first case of real resurrection. Even though in the Old Testament there were people raised, in the New Testament our Lord Jesus raised people from the dead, but these are not real resurrection. Because those that were raised from the dead, they were still in their mortal bodies, and they still died afterwards. With our Lord Jesus, His resurrection is the first case of real resurrection. What is resurrection? Resurrection is going into death, overcoming death, and coming out of death and live forevermore. That is resurrection. Our Lord Jesus is the first one who is able to enter into death, rob death of His power, and come out of death and live forever. Never such a thing has happened before. So we cannot blame the disciples that they just couldn't believe that our Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. They couldn't believe. It took the appearance of our Lord Jesus to convince them that His resurrection is real. Even though He can come in through the walls, His resurrection is real. He is real. He is not a ghost, not a spirit, but a real person. He has flesh and bone, but not material flesh, material bones. He has no blood. There will be no decay. He is in a spiritual body, but is real. Real person, living, unbound. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. That is our risen Lord. And brothers and sisters, gradually, through His appearance, this dawned upon the disciples. They realized that He is really risen from the dead. And what a glorious thing it is. He is now Lord of all. He is now living forever. He is now all powerful. He has overcome death and everything. That restored their faith. That changed them, transformed them from mourning to joy, from fear to courage. And it is because of the appearing of the Lord to them, to show them who He really is. As He testified of Himself in Revelation chapter 1, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the living one. He has gone into death, and He is alive, and He lives forevermore, and holds the keys of death and Hades. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the testimony of Jesus. This is the living Christ. And by His appearance, this is assured. Reassured to the apostles. And no wonder. brothers and sisters? Do we really believe that our Lord Jesus is alive? Do we really believe that He is here, everywhere? Do you really believe that no matter where you are, there He is with you? He has never left you. He is always there with you. He is not limited by time and space anymore. You have Him all the time. Many times you do not see Him. Many times you think He is not there. Many times you think He is far away from you. It is because you do not see Him by faith. If you have faith, you can see Him all the time, everywhere, at every situation in your life, because He is the living one, the resurrected one. He is there with you. He is ever present. All you need is to see Him by faith. Do you really believe He is the resurrected one? He is the all-powerful one. He had overcome everything, even death, the greatest power on this earth. Is there anything that He cannot do? Do you really believe that this is He? How we need to be assured that this is the Christ that we believe. Secondly, His appearing is important because He demonstrates to us a new way of life. You know, our Lord Jesus, when He was in the flesh, He was with the disciples, alongside, taking care of them. And when He told them that He was leaving, they were grieved because He was a comforter to them. And yet our Lord Jesus said, I go, but I will send you another comforter, and He will be with you forever because He will be when our Lord was in the flesh, sometimes He was with the disciples. Sometimes He sent His disciples away. Sometimes He was alone on the mountain praying. But they will come back and seek Him and touch Him to know that He is there. But here our Lord Jesus shows them that it is no longer the way with Him. He is with them all the time. He breathed into them, receiving the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I personally believe it is on the day of His resurrection that He gave to us the indwelt Holy Spirit, the another comforter that He has promised. You remember our Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 to 16, in His last conversation with His disciples, He told them, He said, I'm going, but I will send you another comforter, another of the same kind, just as I am. But there is a difference. I am a comforter with you. But He is a comforter in you. The Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. And He is there in you to teach you all things. He will glorify me and reveal to you all that is of mine. Brothers and sisters, you know this happened during His appearing to His disciples on that evening. When He breathed into them the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Lord is showing them from now on their life with Him is entirely on a different level. It is no longer on the level of the physical, being alongside, but it is now in the level of the spiritual. It is in them. In other words, they are to live a life in they are no longer to live a life in the flesh. They are no longer to seek things according to the flesh. But now they are to live a life in the Spirit. Let the indwelt Holy Spirit teach them. Show them Christ. Learn Christ inwardly. It is a spiritual. Now, brothers and sisters, a Christian life is a spiritual life. A Christian life is an inner life. It is not an outward walk alone. It is an inner life. It lives from within. It lives by the indwelt Holy Spirit. We learn to obey the teaching of the Holy. It is not by people telling us what to do. It is not by rules and regulations. You know, our problem with Christianity today is we live outwardly. We try to become a Christian outwardly. We are given rules and regulations. And if we keep these rules and regulations, then we are good Christians. We are under law. Not under grace. But brothers and sisters, in the appearing of our Lord Jesus, the Lord showed them how He lived in the Spirit. And He wanted disciples to live in the Spirit by the indwelling Spirit. And this is spiritual life. Even today, when we seek the Lord, we try to seek Him outwardly. Just like the disciples, they want to touch Him. Why is it that the Catholic have images? Even though they say, no, we are not worshiping these images. These are just helping us to arouse within us a devotion to God. But brothers and sisters, they need these awkward things to touch God. This is no longer the way. Today you find there is such a teaching of visualization. You try to visualize Christ. Oh, Christ comes. He touched you. And He embraced you. And by doing so, you are near to God. Brothers and sisters, it is no longer true. This is not the way that our Lord Jesus is leading us. He is leading us to walk inwardly. Not try to visualize. Not by touch, by taste, by feeling, even by smell. People even today say they smell Christ. Not by these things. It is inwardly. In the Spirit. You touch Him. You know He is there. He is teaching you. He is guiding you. He is leading you. He has never left you. He has never forsaken you. He is ever present with you. Brothers and sisters, this is a new way of life. A new relationship is formed. He said, I go to my Father, your Father. My God, your God. Tell my brethren, it is a new relationship. You know, when our Lord Jesus was in the flesh, He tried to share with His disciples and with the Jews that the Father is in Him and He is in the Father. But they couldn't believe it. How can the Father be in Him and He in the Father? Now, you cannot be in me, I cannot be in you. We can stand side by side, but how can one be in the other? It's impossible. They couldn't believe it. Even the disciples, they couldn't believe it. And the Lord tried to tell them again and again. He said, if you don't understand it, at least you believe the work that I have done. And by the work that I have done, you know the Father is in me. But still, they couldn't believe it. Because it is beyond us. All that inner relationship is beyond human concept. But it is true. The Father is in Christ. And Christ is in the Father. They are one. The Father and the Son are one. There is an inward relationship. Unbroken. But the world does not. Even the disciples did not understand. But the Lord said, in that day, you shall know I am in the Father, you are in me, and I in you. Now, what is that day? That day is the day of His resurrection. After He is resurrected, they know that He is in the Father. We are in Him. And He is in us. Now how do we know? It is because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So in other words, you find that our relationship with the Lord is an inward relationship. He is the vine. We are the branches. There is a oneness. That cannot be broken. And because of this, we need to abide in Him. And He abides in us and will bear much fruit. So, brothers and sisters, our relationship with the Lord is an inward relationship. Not an outward relationship. Any outward relationship can be broken. But an inward relationship cannot. We are in Him, and He is in us. How do we know Him? We know Him no longer according to the flesh. You remember the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? He said, we no longer know Him in the flesh. If ever we know Him in the flesh. We know Him no longer in the flesh. We know Him in the Spirit now. Brothers and sisters, If you want to know the Lord Jesus, you have to know Him in the Spirit. Or to put it another way, how do we know Him? We know Him by the revealing of Him, by the Spirit in our spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ to our spirit. Now, this is the only true spiritual knowledge. Aside from this, our knowledge is not true. Even our mental knowledge of the Word of God is but letter. Letter that kills. It is not a spirit that quickens. Now, of course, we need to know the letter. If you do not know the letter, how can you judge the spirit? But knowing the letter alone is not true knowledge. You do not really know Him. It is only by the Holy Spirit revealing His Word to our spirit, then we have the true knowledge of God. And our knowing one another is no longer we know each other in the flesh. Brothers and sisters, in the past we know each other in the flesh by the outward appearance, by outward contact. But now we no longer know each other in the flesh. We know each other in the Spirit. That is, in Christ. We see Christ in each other. We do not see Adam or Eve in each other. Our relationship is on a spiritual. And that is the reason why there is no distinction of races, of social status, educational background, or whatever distinction may be. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Because this is a new way of life. And this new way of life is demonstrated by our Lord at His appearing and His leading us into that new way. This is what His appearing does for us. Thirdly, what did our Lord Jesus teach during those 40 days of appearing? We are told in Acts chapter 1 that He was seen by His disciples after He suffered. And He proved to them that He is living. And He teach them the kingdom of God. You know what our Lord was preaching? What did He preach? He preached the kingdom of God. But they didn't understand Him. You remember Pilate asked Him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" The Lord said, "My kingdom is not of this world. I'm God a king. I come to this world for this reason, that I may bear witness for the truth." Without waiting for an answer, what is the truth? Pilate went away. The Jews at the time did not understand Him. When He talked about the kingdom, they said, "Where is it? Where is the kingdom? When is the time that you will overturn the Roman yoke and deliver us and revive the nation of Israel?" They couldn't understand what he preached. Even his disciples could not understand him. He preached to them, he talked to them, he taught them the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of the heavens. They heard, and yet did not hear. Even at the very last, you find they are still striving against each other. Who shall sit on his right and on his left? They thought he was going to Jerusalem to be crowned. They did not understand. Because their concept was earthly. Materialistic. They cannot rise above what is earthly and what is material. And now the Lord Jesus, after he was resurrected, he continued to preach, to teach his disciples on the kingdom of God. Is it a new teaching? No. The same old teaching, but with a new atmosphere, a new environment. The Lord is not teaching them in the flesh. When he taught them in the flesh of the kingdom of God, which is heavenly, they couldn't understand. But now he is teaching them in the spirit. He demonstrates to them what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is where God reigns and rules. He reigns and rules in our hearts. The kingdom of God is not to be seen by eyes. It is spiritual. It is where Christ reigns in our hearts. There is the kingdom of God. Now with a new environment, hopefully, the disciples understood a little better. You know, the apostles, they took up this theme of the kingdom of God in their preaching. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up at 11, and what did he preach? His conclusion was, let the house of Israel know that this Jesus whom ye have crucified, God has made him Lord and Christ. He is Lord. He is Lord of all. He is the King. And those who repented, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they submitted themselves under his authority, to let him be Lord over their lives. This is the kingdom of God. And when you come to the end of the book of Acts, Paul, in his hired apartment in Rome, he preached the kingdom of God and taught the things of Jesus. Gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, and the end shall come. Brothers and sisters, today, are we preaching what our Lord Jesus preached, both before and after his resurrection? Are we preaching what the apostles preach in the book of Acts? Today we overemphasize the gospel of grace. And we underemphasize the gospel of truth. We tell people that Jesus is our Savior, who died for our sins, who saved us. But we do not tell them that Jesus is Lord. He is Master. He is Sovereign. He is our Majesty. And we need to surrender our life to Him. And that's the reason why Christianity is so weak. This is why our Christian life is so weak. This is why the church is so weak. Because this church is built by the gospel of the kingdom of truth. We need to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. We need to tell people that Jesus is not only Savior, He is Lord. We need to prepare for His coming. Now, we are not talking about dominion theology. Of Reconstruction theology. Now, some of you may have heard of this. Today, there are people talking about dominion theology, Reconstruction theology. And that is to say, we Christians are to convert the world and bring the world to the feet of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are not sent to convert the world. We are sent to overcome it. The world will not be converted. It will get worse. But when we preach the kingdom of God, out of every nation, every people, every tribe, every tongue, God is to call out a people unto Himself, under His name, under His authority, that He may reign and rule as supreme in our lives. And when this is He will come back to judge the world and bring the world under His feet. Brothers and sisters, it is important for us to understand that we need to preach the kingdom of God. And finally, it is during His appearance that He gave us the Great Commission. He gave the church the Great Commission before He ascended to heaven. What is the Great Commission? In Matthew chapter 28, the Lord said, "Go ye to the world to disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I have enjoined you, and I will be with you to the end." The Great Commission that is given to the church is more than just evangelizing. Now, it is true. In Luke chapter 24, the Lord did command the disciples, "Go and preach forgiveness, repentance, and remission of sin." But it is more than that. It is to disciple all nations. When you think of discipling, simply means that to bring people under Christ. Not only to Him, but to be under Him. Why, after one believed in the Lord Jesus, he must be baptized? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Why is it believing is not enough? You must be baptized. Because by being baptized, you are baptized into His name. In other words, you give up yourself. You allow Him to be your head. You belong to Him. You take Him as your Lord. You submit yourself to Him. You become His disciples. You allow Him to teach you, to transform you, to mold you, to fashion you according to His image. And you are being taught of all things that He has taught us. Brothers and sisters, this is discipleship. Discipleship is discipling to Christ. Not discipling to any man. Discipling to Christ. To learn of Him. That you may be like Him. As He is, so you shall be. Now, this is our Great Commission. Have we fulfilled our commission? Are we faithful to what the Lord? And all these things you'll find happened during those 40 days of His appearing. Now, brothers and sisters, you may not have a personal appearing of the Lord in your life. But at least, what you'll find in the Scripture of His appearing is yours. In other words, all that He has done and said during those 40 days of appearance are for you. It is for you to see Him as the living one who is ever that you serve a living Christ. You live because He lives. It is for you to understand that He has given you a life, an inward life, a spiritual life to live. And you are to live in an inward way. That your relationship with Him is not physical. It is spiritual. And your relationship with your brothers and sisters is spiritual, not physical. We are to live by faith, not by sight. We are to live in the Spirit, not in the This is the way that He has demonstrated to us, and He has led us into. And this is the way we shall live. And brothers and sisters, we also need to know more of the kingdom of God. How it is a spiritual, heavenly kingdom. It is hidden today among His own people. And one day it will publicly appear on this earth. But before that time, it is our responsibility to teach all nations, to bring people under the authority of Christ. And then the end will come. So, brothers and sisters, these are the things that we need to receive, to stand on, and by which we are saved. Shall we pray? Our Lord Jesus, we do praise and thank Thee that Thou dost not only die for us on Calvary's cross for our sins, Thou wert buried that we might be out of sight. Thou raised from the dead that we may receive a new life, and Thou dost appear to us that we may know how to live. Lord, we just pray that Thou will use these feeble words to bring us into the reality that Thou appearing has taught us. We ask in Thy precious name.